Well, today's sermon is not very long. But I probably could make it a lot shorter because Steve just preached half of it for me. It's funny because he had no idea what I was going to be preaching, but God does that all the time. Man, just so many times that God just sets things in our hearts at just the right time. And if there was no other proof that there was a God, that would be a really good one. Because I see it so often. I see it all the time. You know, preaching sermons that just come up on days that we as a church have been struggling with certain things. You know, preaching this sermon today as Steve came with a lot of the same message. But I, as usual, digress. There's a funny joke that I've made use of a few times since I saw it online several years ago. Maybe it's more of a saying. If a man says that he's going to do something, he'll do it. You don't have to nag him every 6 months about it. And this is at the same time incredibly accurate and incredibly ridiculous, right? Jamie, being the smart lady that she is, has actually started to put time strictures on me when she asks me to do something. Would you fill the dog's food in the next 24 hours? And then, of course, it comes to hour 23, and she goes, did you fill the dog's food yet? No, yeah, go do that right now. You know, and I run off and do it right then, you know. And also, it kind of reminds me of certain talks that I had with my mom and dad when I was a kid. My mom and dad, usually about taking out the trash. And they're going to be listening to this in a couple days and be laughing. But my mom and dad would ask me to take out the trash and say, would you take out the trash? And I'd say, yeah. And then 3 days later, they'd be getting all mad because I hadn't done it yet. I mean, like, I still planned to do it. I don't know what the big deal was. But they, you know, got all upset because there it was in the middle of the living room, which is a strange place to keep a trash can, but once again, probably they put it there so I wouldn't forget. But as Jamie could tell you, I am really good at not noticing things. So anyway, they'd get all mad, and then we'd have a lot of conversations about how delayed obedience is disobedience. And it's just funny to me, though, how our relationship with God mirrors our relationship with our parents so perfectly. You know, He loves us as they love us or loved us. He watches out for us and protects us just like they watch out for us and protect us, or watched out for us and protected us. God loves us so much. We feel the disappointment just as keenly when He is disappointed in us as when our parents were disappointed in us. Nothing is quite as bad as saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Ow. It's amazing how when we see some things in the Bible that it just brings our past experiences to the top, and we can so easily apply these things to us, you know. The parable today we're going to look at is about two sons, and which of the two sons better carried out the will of their father. And somehow it reminds me of these times with my parents, and I'm sure you'll see why. But it's just so amazing how perfect the comparison is between our relationships with God and our relationships with our parents. Today, throughout the sermon, we're going to see that comparison, as well as the comparison to us as children to God. We'll also be looking at a few different kinds of people that this parable deals with and what effect they have on the church, on Christianity as a whole, and on the world. But to start out, let's go ahead and read this short parable, Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then the man came to the second son and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." Which one did the will of the Father? You kind of see what I was talking about with looking at the relationship between us and God and parents and kids. The parable itself shows a couple of different kinds of people here, doesn't it? Those who seem to refuse God, but then go and do good eventually. And those who seem to accept God, but do bad, or at least do no good. When Jesus told this parable, he was in the middle of an argument with the chief priests and elders. The meaning of all this is pretty clear. These people who should have followed Jesus first, the Pharisees who knew the word so well, who set themselves apart as a sect of holiness, these people who should have followed Jesus first did not. They were the son who said they would go, said they would follow God, and then did not. And these tax collectors and prostitutes and everything like that were the ones who have had apparently refused God, who lived a life of sin or a life of ungodliness. And then when they meet Jesus, they feel remorse and they turn and follow him. When Jesus came, they listened and repented, just as the first son felt guilt and went to do the work. Now here's the thing, though. We know that the first son was better because he went and did the work eventually. But neither son really did as they were supposed to do, did they? They should have both said yes and gone to do the work. There are people today that we can see have great similarities to these two sons. Just like the Pharisees, we know people who seem on the outside to say yes to God. The people who are devoted to going through the motions. The people who are devoted to showing up to church on time, well-dressed, but on the inside are something else. They show up to church every Sunday and then go home and yell at the dog and kick the wife, or vice versa. The people who play the part of a good Christian but treat people like dirt. We know these kinds of people as hypocrites, right? Those who make themselves look good but aren't. For the Greek scholars, it's from two words that... we could get into that, but I'm not going to, because it's not really important. But we know hypocrites. You know, we are familiar with hypocrites. You know, these people, these hypocrites are a real issue too, especially since they always seem to be seen. A very common answer as to why someone won't go to church is because It's full of hypocrites, right? We've heard that. Well, everybody at that church, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And why would they not believe that? I mean, honestly, why wouldn't they believe that? We see it, and so they see it way more than we do, right? It seems like those who put on the biggest show have the most to try and hide, doesn't it? But always, always comes to light. How many times in the last 10 years has some pastor of some gigantic church been caught in some sort of infidelity or adultery or other perversion? And that's not even getting into the reputation that the leadership of the Catholic Church has developed over the last 10 years or so. And of course, these things get a crazy amount of press, don't they? People want to see the righteous fall. They like to look and say, see those Christians, they're all just fake. They aren't really any better than any of us. And it's true. The problem is that we try to make ourselves look better than everyone else rather than just being real, which I'll come back to in a minute. But it isn't just those in the public eye either. This kind of comes back to what Steve was saying. Those who go to church and then go home and treat people poorly. Those who go to church every Sunday and then swear and carouse as much as their non-Christian friends. It's those who call themselves Christians but don't live like it. Guess what? People see that. I mean, we know that we're not saved by our works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." But we also know that it is our works that are seen and that are evidence of our faith. James 2, 14 through 18. "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Words can never take the place of deeds. That's why the son who said, "Yes, I'll go and work," but didn't, was not the good son. We need to be real. We need to live our lives in honesty of our imperfection. Now, the first son is not perfect either. The best thing, of course, is to say yes from the beginning and then go and do what you said you would do. It's best to live a life for Christ on the inside and the outside. Because you see, there are other people who set a standard that we have to beat. Yeah, it's kind of a competition. You see, those people have set a standard, those people who have no affiliation to the church but go and do good. The people who never go to church but do more than any churchgoer. Or maybe these are the people who are professed atheists but are better or more moral per people than most Christians. I have a friend like that. I know a guy that he's what the world would call a very good person. He's lawful, he's kind, he's generous, and he's an atheist. He's been my friend for a very, very long time. We've had a lot of conversations. Now, this isn't his fault, but it does pose a difficulty to us, doesn't it? Because the same people who see Christians who talk the talk but don't walk the walk also see this guy who does a lot of good, who is kind, who is and doesn't believe in God at all. So what do? I mean, we can't control other people. We can't go and try and make the atheist look bad. But what we can do is better ourselves. All of us. And encourage others as well so that we can make sure that the good Christians, the ones who walk the walk and talk the talk, who are good on the inside and on the outside, who live a life like Christ, so we can make sure that those Christians are the most common kind of Christian. We can be them ourselves, and we can encourage other people, our friends, our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be those people as well. So that is the reputation of Christians, not people who make themselves look better than they actually are and then go home and do the same things that non-Christians do. Real Christians who acknowledge our pasts. Who don't make following Christ seem to be something out of reach. This is a mistake that was made by previous generations of Christians. I'll just say it. When the church made itself so separate, when the church made itself so exclusive, well, to be a Christian, you have to make yourself perfect. You have to make yourself look better than everyone else. You have to stop doing anything that might seem like it is part of the world. But you know what happens when we do that? We absolutely lose our chance to help. When we stop being real and start making our lives out to be beyond what normal people have, we lose our chance to help. A pastor friend of mine once said that the most powerful words a Christian can say to help bring people in, the most powerful words they can say are, "Me too. I really struggle with sin. Me too. I have struggles with addiction. Me too. I really often feel lost and without direction. Me too. Me too, but I have found something that gives my life meaning, that has helped me through all of these things and brought me to new life. I have found something that gives my life direction. I have found that there is more to life than this. I found a man, and his name is Jesus." Now, this is, of course, not to say that holiness isn't also vital, but we should not purposely put our holiness on display either. We should not pray yelling on street corners. We should not draw attention to the things that we do or don't do because of the change that Christ has made in us. The difference in your life will show through your actions naturally. The change in you will show naturally as you grow and mature in Christ. We don't need to go and try and make ourselves look superior. Let your actions speak for themselves. And let your words remind people that you were once where they are. Neither of the sons in this parable were perfect. We as followers of Christ and public faces of his teaching need to be the ones who not only bravely accept the commands and calling of our Lord, but the ones who carry them out. Actions are always more important than words. but we should have both. The most important thing, I think, is to be real. Follow Christ with all of you. Live your life for him, but be real. We are not perfect, but we are being perfected thanks to the grace of God. You know, I mentioned that this is a shorter sermon. I also thought for a really long time about what else I could say to lengthen out the sermon today, and how I could add a little time because it is shorter than usual. But the wise words of my grandpa came through loud and clear as I sat and thought about how anything else I added would just be fluff. And I don't do fluff. These words apply to much more than just writing sermons. He would say, when you're done, quit. Which, of course, in his profession as a stuccoer and plasterer was really, really important, because if you go back and try and fix some little mistake, you run the high risk of messing up everything you just did. But it's true in a lot of ways, you know. When you're done, quit. When you try and go back and just do that one little thing to perfect your work, a lot of times it'll actually mess it up. Sometimes if you go and try and fix one tiny blemish, you'll just make it worse. And for me to go and try and add more to what I said, it'll either just complicate things or detract from what I said. So when you're done, quit. I'll say it one more time. We need to be the people who are real. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. We need to live lives exemplary unto God. Now I'm done. So pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, for the guidance it gives us, for the way it helps us, for showing us what we should be doing. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your faces to other people. Help us to live lives that are real. Help us to show people that we're not perfect, that we were once where they are, that we are examples of what God can do, that he can bring even the worst back around to him. Help us to be lights in the darkness. We pray in your name. Amen.